As we give thanks, we come to hear the word, what God himself says to us about thankfulness. And this morning we'd like to read with you and for you two scripture passages, first from the Old and second from the New Testament. So Isaiah chapter 12 is our first reading. Isaiah chapter number 12. We'll come back to this passage after the New Testament reading. Our focus will be especially on verse number 1 of Isaiah chapter 12. The Lord says this to us in his holy word. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Let us also turn in the New Testament. One of Paul's letters was written to a church in ancient Philippi. So the letter to the Philippians. And chapter number 4, verses 4 through 7. Some familiar words from the Apostle Paul on giving thanks. He says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So far, God's holy word, and may he write it upon the tablets of our hearts today. Well, Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 1, if you have your Bible open there with me, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Isn't that beautiful? I will give thanks to you, O Lord. And doesn't that express how we as sons of God, daughters of God, believers in Jesus Christ, doesn't express how we are to live our lives? Giving thanks, praising him, living a life of gratitude, living a life of sheer wonder for his grace and his love to us in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you today as we think just for a few moments about thankfulness and the day of Thanksgiving, gratitude in our hearts. I want to do that by encouraging you to think of Thanksgiving as the Word of God does, not merely as one day out of the year or maybe one thing that we do every once in a while, but to make it a habit, a perpetual pattern of our lives. To give thanks should be a lifestyle for us as believers. And that's really easy to do, isn't it? Making it a habit, making it a lifestyle. So easy, isn't it, to give thanks in all circumstances? So easy for us to give thanks with supplication and thanks for all the things that God brings in our lives. Isn't it easy for us to do that? We know by experience that it's not. We know how difficult it is to live a life of thanks. For some of us, we typically are a little more melancholic than the rest, and it's difficult, we know by experience. But the rest of us know this as well. Not only when things go easy are we to give thanks, but the Word of God says that when things go hard, and when God himself even puts a cloud between himself and us, we can't feel him or see him or sense him. It's difficult to give thanks. It's difficult to make it a pattern of life, a habit, a part of what we are and what we do. Yet we who have been touched by the love and mercy of Almighty God in our heads, with our hearts, with our hands, can do nothing else than, nothing less than, serve the Lord. And I want you to see that here in Isaiah 12. So have your Bible open with me, especially noting verse 1. But we'll look at a couple of other passages in just a moment. But Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah, in his prophecy, begins on a hard, harsh note. The first five chapters, if you go read them yourselves, will note the harshness of his words. It's one recounting after another. Chapters 1 through 5 are one recounting after another of Israel's sins. God's children, their disobedience, their hard-heartedness, their anger. They're talking back to him, so to speak. It's one chronicle after another of sin. In fact, God describes his own people, the covenant people, the church, his children, all the terms that we use to describe the people of God. In chapter 1, verse number 9, he says that it was getting so bad that the Israelites, the people of God, had become like Sodom and like Gomorrah. They're on the precipice of becoming like an ancient people that were destroyed outright by God, sending fire from heaven. That's how bad it had gotten. That's how deep their sins were. But in chapters 6 through 11, Isaiah changes the course and he speaks of grace. He speaks in the beginning and then of guilt. Then he speaks of grace. He speaks of sin. Then he speaks of salvation. Because the God that we serve, the God that Isaiah served, the one true God, he's not merely a just and righteous God who wants to punish people. He's a God of mercy and grace. And so if you read Isaiah chapter 6 through 11, you'll know that it's all about grace. Isaiah himself, chapter 6, where he experiences the grace of God. In that time, the nation of Israel had been divided into two parts. The northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom was called Judah. And Isaiah describes in chapter 7 through the beginning of chapter 9 the grace that he gave to the southern kingdom of Judah. And then in chapter 9, the middle to the end of chapter 11, he speaks of the grace that he poured out upon the northern kingdom of Israel. Yes, they had become like Sodom. Yes, they had become like Gomorrah, but yet God was merciful and gracious. And then Isaiah here picks up in verse 1. Notice, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. How better to thank God than in song? How better to give praise to God for his amazing grace to those who have become like Sodom and Gomorrah, to those who have become, as it were, his enemies? How better to give thanks and to sing, to praise? Martin Luther once said this about music. He said, music drives away the devil and makes people happy. They forget thereby all wrath, unchastity, arrogance, and the like. Next, after theology, I give to music the highest place and greatest honor. Experience proves that next to the Word of God, only music deserves to be extolled as the mistress and governess of the feelings of the human heart. Song, music, thanks, praise is to the believer the natural response to what God does for him or her, for us. So why are you thankful? Why was Isaiah thankful? Why were the Israelites thankful, saying, I will give thanks to you, O Lord? Why do they sing, give thanks to the Lord? Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Why? Well, like those ancient people, we too are called to give thanks for God's grace to us in Jesus Christ. Because Isaiah 12, although it speaks to the Israelites in that time and that place, it ultimately is a prophetic call to worship. Meaning, here's Isaiah speaking in the Old Testament times, roughly 700 years before Jesus Christ came. And he spoke of giving thanks for grace. And the way that he speaks that is to point us forward to Jesus Christ. He's speaking of us here. Note in verse 1, he says, you will say, in that day. Highlight those three words, in that day. Well, what day is that? Look just above in chapter number 11, verse number 10. Isaiah says this, in that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The people of God were once described in the Old Testament like a verdant tree. But because they had become like Sodom and Gomorrah, God chopped the tree down. All that was left, children, was a stump. What's a stump? It's just the bottom part of a tree, isn't it? You cut it off and eventually it gets hard and you can sit on it like a chair. And it doesn't have leaves and it doesn't have branches. It doesn't seem like it's alive. But the way that the prophet described how God would be gracious to his people once again was to take that stump and out of it a little shoot would come out, a little branch, a green leaf would sprout up. You see that in verse 1 of chapter 11. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Jesse's the family through which God promised that David would be king and David would have a line of kings to follow him forever and ever. But there was that stump. It seemed like God's promise had come to an end, that God had forgotten His promise. But God never forgets. His grace is ever around us, and a little shoot begins to pop up out of that stump. There would be a king like David once again to sit upon his throne. Who is he? Who is that root, that shoot of Jesse? Again, notice in chapter number 11 where he describes him, verse number 2. He's the one upon whom the Spirit of God rests. The Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. This is Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ cites these words of himself in the New Testament. This shoot of David ultimately is Jesus Christ. In that day, you will say, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. The day in which God would once again renew His promise to send the Son, to send the root of Jesse, the king upon David's throne. In that day, again, verse 11 of chapter 11, in that day the Lord will extend His hand yet a second time to recover the remnant that remains of His people. From every tribe and tongue and language and nation, Jesus Christ will gather His church. You see what God is telling us, what Isaiah is saying to us as well as to them, is that we need to go back in order to live in the future. For us to give thanks today and to give thanks tomorrow and to give thanks into eternity, we must go back. We must remember His wonderful deeds that He has done. We must remember that, as verse 5 says, that He has done gloriously. We must remember that He is in our midst, the Holy One of Israel. God Himself, Jesus Christ. I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Why? Because as verse 1 says there, speaking of that day to come in which Jesus Christ, the shoot of Jesse, the root of Jesse's stump, would come forth in that day. And He sings, I will give thanks. Why? Notice, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. That's what it's all about. That's what the Christian religion is all about. That's what Jesus Christ is all about. That's what the Bible is all about. For though you were angry with me, speaking of God, again, their sins, they become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Although you were angry with me, yes, your anger turned away. Why? That you might comfort me. That's what it's all about, the Christian message. Our sin, God's salvation. Our guilt, God's grace. As Paul says many, many, many generations later after this prophecy is spoken, Paul says it like this in Titus 3, that God has poured out upon us His grace, like a pitcher of water pouring out upon us His grace. In Ephesians 1, Paul tells us that God has lavished richly upon us His grace. And again, Paul says to us in Romans 5 that where we sin, God's grace superabounds beyond all of our sins. Where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. Where we sin, God is that much greater. Where we fail, He is never a failure. When we stumble, He always lifts us up to stand. Where we deny Him, He does not deny us. He cannot deny Himself. But how can God be so merciful to sinners? How is it possible that those who are like Sodom and Gomorrah, the wicked of the wicked, the paragon of wickedness in the Old Testament, how can God forgive them? How can God forgive you? How can God forgive me? How can I give thanks? How can I say for certain that though God was angry with me, yet His anger is turned away that He might comfort me? How? Did you notice the pronouns in verse 1? Who's doing the action here, brothers and sisters? For though you were angry with me, yes, God is angry with sinners. Although you were angry with me, your anger turned away. The idea is there that God Himself has turned away His anger, that you might comfort me. God Himself, the judge of all the earth, is the same God who turns His anger, and He's gracious and He's merciful. Why should we be thankful? Why are we thankful? Because God Himself has been merciful to those that He was once just towards. Just like in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah, the sinner, stands before God in God's very own throne room, and he confesses his sins. I'm a man of unclean lips. God takes a coal from an altar of sacrifice, and He touches his lips to cleanse him, to forgive him of his sins. How can God turn away His anger? Because God Himself makes a sacrifice. God Himself is the one who, by giving up His own Son as a substitute for us, can, as it were, cleanse our lips with His coal from the altar. By means of sacrifice, by means of substitution, God can satisfy His justice and pour out grace. That's why we sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Or we sing, "Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let Thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to Thee." Let us with joy, as Isaiah says, verse 3, let us with joy plunge the bucket of our faith deep down into the well of salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. He's speaking of faith. Let us take our faith and, as it were, plunge it deep down as a bucket into that well, grabbing hold of Christ to satisfy our longing, thirsty souls. And in joy, let us praise the triune God today, the Father who has loved us so much that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And to draw us to them, they've sent us the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Let us give thanks today as we sing in our hearts and as we say with our lips the words of Isaiah's song there at the end. Give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for He has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. That God is in our midst today. He's in our midst to save. He's here to be gracious. He's here to pour out His love upon you if you embrace His Son, Jesus Christ. And for that, we give thanks today. Amen.